Let's continue reading verse 6 through verse 14 of Malachi chapter 1. Now, in this section of the chapter, we see two more areas where backslidden Israel had to be rebuked. They were offering defective sacrifices and showing disdainful attitudes towards the worship of the Lord. Malachi chapter 1, beginning now at verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you who would shut the doors, so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness! And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, who sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Once again, let's consider some background notes. The name Malachi means my messenger. It is for this reason that some commentators suggest that Malachi is not a proper name, and either Ezra or Nehemiah is really the author of the book of Malachi. However, Jewish tradition is that Malachi is a proper name, and that Malachi was definitely one of the post-exilic prophets. In fact, he was the last prophet of the Old Testament period. Malachi was a contemporary of Nehemiah and probably wrote sometime after the revival that followed the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. We learn from chapters 12 and 13 of the book of Nehemiah that there was a time of backsliding in Israel sometime after the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. Most likely, it was during this time, maybe about 430 BC, that Malachi wrote his book rebuking the people for their backslidden ways. Now, in the first part of chapter 1, we saw that the people were rebuked for doubting and questioning God's love. God had stated that he loved his people in no uncertain terms, not just in verse 2 of Malachi chapter 1 that we read and discussed, but all the way back in the books of the law. I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8. And down through the years, God reminded Israel of his covenanted love and his loving kindness for them. Listen to the reminder in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. So God has reminded his people all the way down through the years that he loves them. He loves them. He loves them. And yet, the people of Malachi's day dare to question God's love, and they challenged God to prove it. For this defiant attitude, they were sternly rebuked, as we've seen in the first part of Malachi chapter 1. Now here in the rest of chapter 1, we see two more areas where the people, and especially the priests, were rebuked. One, for offering defective sacrifices, and two, for despising God's way of worship. Both of these sins dishonored God then and today. Now, verse 6 here indicates that they were showing honor and respect in their families and jobs, but showing no honor and respect for the Lord. Sounds a lot like conditions in our own nation today, doesn't it? Now, just before we go to our doctrinal points for this section of Malachi chapter 1, let me say something about verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Now, this verse is not saying that pagan worship is acceptable before God, as some far-out interpretations have wrongfully suggested. No, this is a prediction of the future when believing Gentiles would worship the Lord. Now, this prophecy has certainly been partially fulfilled with the spread of Christianity around the world. I mean, the sacrifice of praise, as we read in Hebrews 13:15, ascends to the Lord from believers' hearts around the world, even as we speak. But verse 11 will be completely fulfilled only when the Lord comes back and sets up his kingdom here on this earth. Then indeed, worship of the Lord from Gentiles around the world will take place. More we could say there. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this section of Malachi chapter 1. So, doctrinal or teaching point number 1. Defective sacrifices dishonor God. Defective sacrifices dishonor God. God said here in Malachi chapter 1 that the people and priests were dishonoring him by offering defective sacrifices on the altar. The Lord's table here in verses 7 and 12 probably refers to the altar of sacrifice. Now, what was a defective sacrifice anyway? Well, according to the law, animals with blemishes were not to be offered to the Lord. I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 21, in reference to the animals for sacrifice. But if there is a defect in it, if it is lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. Read Leviticus chapter 22 for more details about this regulation of defective sacrifices and blemished animals, etc. We see here in Malachi chapter 1 that the backsliders of Malachi's day were bringing defective sacrifices, blind and lame and sick animals. Look at verse 8. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? And verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. Let me ask you, would we have done the same thing if we were living then? I mean, we'd look over our flock and knowing that we wanted to bring a sacrifice to the Lord, but we'd select the defective animals and give them to the Lord. After all, those animals will probably die anyway. Might as well sacrifice them to the Lord. We say, no, we would never do such a thing. But what about our offerings to the Lord now? As to our time, do we just give the Lord the leftovers? Do we use our best talents to serve the Lord or to serve ourselves? Is our praise on Sunday morning defiled and defective because of what our minds were occupied with on Saturday night? This convicting to anyone here this morning? David said in 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, I will not give offerings to the Lord, which cost me nothing. What about us? The Lord is a great king, verse 14. Let's honor him as a great king. Defective sacrifices dishonor God. Doctrinal point number two. Disdainful attitudes dishonor God. Disdainful attitudes dishonor God. It was not only the actions of the people and priests in offering defective sacrifices. It was their attitudes as well. The Lord said that they despised his name. Verse 6. They were saying that the Lord's table was contemptible. Verse 7. Look at the Lord's rebuke in verses 12 and 13. You say the table of the Lord is defiled and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. Again, we would say we would never show such an attitude. But wait a minute. What about sleeping in on Sunday morning? Is this not belittling the table of the Lord? What about daydreaming and planning your week during the time of worship? Is this not despising the name of the Lord? You see what the Bible is teaching us here? Disdainful attitudes dishonor God. Now, what about practical application? Let's close the door of the church if we're just going through the motions. Let's close the door of the church if we're just going through the motions. That's essentially what God is saying in verse 10 about the temple worship in Malachi's day. Verse 10, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle a fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. God would rather have them shut the doors of the temple and put the fire out that was on the altar than have the people and priests just go through the motions of offering defective sacrifices with disdainful attitudes. What a lesson for us. It's a sad day when a church has to close its doors. Unfortunately, many churches that were once vibrant and zealous for the Lord have shut down. There are all kinds of reasons. Most of them involve sad stories. But we can be sure that God would rather have a church shut its doors than remain open if the people are just going through the motions. Many unbelievers just go through the motions. Some Christians even just go through the motions of worship to the Lord. I trust that is not true of you. You're just here because, you know, this is habit. You're just here putting in your time, thinking about what your week is going to be like and planning it out and so forth. I trust that is not true of anyone here this morning. I trust we're all here to truly worship with the right hearts the Lord who is a great King. I know that is not true of this church. This church has the right attitude, not defective sacrifices, not disdainful attitudes. We pray that this will continue. Let it never be said, well, let's close the door of the church since we're just going through the motions.